Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to talk to you tonight about something that I think is really, really important for us as believers to understand, and that is a theology of blessing. A theology of blessing. You read the Bible, and I've read it cover to cover many, many times, and there's an inescapable conclusion you draw when you read the Bible, and that is God delights in blessing people. Now, if you read the Bible at all and read it very much, you will see that over and over again. You just walk through. He blessed Abraham, he blessed Isaac, he blessed Jacob, he blessed Joseph, he blessed Moses, he blessed Joshua, he blessed Samuel, he blessed David, he blessed Solomon. In the New Testament, the theme continues 9 times. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, says, blessed are, and then gives insight into what that blessing looks like. Here's what I think the problem is for a lot of believers is they have a tendency to simply look at blessing as conceptual rather than tangible. So what they would say is they would say, well, you know, I believe God blesses people, and I believe he gives people a sense of well-being, or gives them peace, or gives them joy. And I certainly believe that is true. And your presence is fullness of joy. I mean, peace comes as we pray and present our requests to God. There's no question about that. What I want you to understand is that God, when he blesses people spiritually, he blesses people emotionally, he blesses people physically, and he blesses people financially. In fact, when you use the word shalom or peace, and when we talk about may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace, that word peace, that word shalom, encompasses all four of those things. The idea is, may the favor of God and the hand of God rest on you in a way that results in spiritual, emotional, physical, and financial blessing. That's the heart of God. The writer of Proverbs puts it this way in Proverbs chapter 10, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. Now, some of you, and this will be your first clue that you don't understand blessing, you're bothered by that word. You would rather it said, the blessing of the Lord makes one happy. You could live with that better, but when it says that, you're like, well, what do you mean? It make people rich. Are we all gonna be driving Maseratis and living in mansions? And the answer to that is no. And yet at the same time, God delights in blessing people financially. If you tithe, you know that to be true. You know that he does more than you can do. You cannot outgive God. But it's bigger than that. It includes that. So what I want to do is I want to just give you some concepts on blessing that will help you to walk in the blessed life. The first one is this. If you cannot celebrate blessing in another person's life, you will limit blessing in your own life. So if somebody is blessed and all of a sudden you're like, well, hey, what's up with that? How are they able to afford that house? How are they able to get that? Why do they always get the good deal? Why does everything, you know, when you're looking at it that way, or boy, I can't wait till they have to start making those payments, then we'll see how blessed they feel, you know. So people, what happens is or I don't think people should live in that kind of place, or I don't think people should drive that kind of car, or I don't think, you know what you're saying right away is you're saying, I don't understand blessing. Because first of all, it's none of your business what other people do, okay? It's none of your business. And if you mind your own business, you'll be busy all the time. But when you're minding everybody else's business, then you don't understand blessing. Some people are happy when other people seek first the kingdom of God. They just aren't as happy when those same people have all these other things added unto them. You know what? They're happy to see people humble themselves under the mighty hand. Oh, it's good for them to be humbled. I'm glad to see they're being humbled. But when God exalts them in due season, then they're not quite as happy about that. Or they love it when people have given to God in secret. They're just not happy when God openly blesses them because they're secret givers. My question to you is, when God blesses a brother or sister in Christ, can you be as happy for them as if it were your own? That's the real mark. Can you be as happy as if that was what God did in your life? You can and you will if you understand blessing. Because when you understand blessing, see, people who don't understand blessing have a scarcity mentality, and so they have an idea that more for somebody else is less for them. But that's never the case. He's a God of unlimited supply, and he'll do for you and more than he's doing for others if you'll just set your heart on him and serve him with all of your heart. Now, we cannot go where God wants to take us if we do not deal with God's process of bringing increase and blessing into other people's lives. In fact, if you can't celebrate what God's doing in somebody else's life, it will actually disqualify you from the measure God wants to do in your life. So celebrating blessing in the lives of others is a key to opening the door. Otherwise, you're operating in a jealousy. You're operating in a scarcity mentality. You're operating in an idea that you're letting a critical fleshly attitude. Just listen. What is it to you? What's it to you? Why is it your business? Why should you have one thing to say about somebody else? That's the word the body of Christ needs to hear. People too busy, you know, talking all the time. Listen, you know, what God does with somebody is between them and God, not between you, God, and them. So just give it a rest and be at peace, and you'll be way happier. Number two, understanding your significance to God opens your life to his blessing. This is the way the devil works against people relative to experiencing the blessing of God in their life, is he makes them think they're not important to God. I mean, they know they're important enough that he saved them, but a lot of times people don't believe that God loves them as much as he loves someone else. And if they do believe it in their head, they don't actually believe it in their heart and live in that way. It will be hard for you to receive God's blessing if you continually view yourself as being, now the Bible says, esteem others as better than yourself. So we put others before us, but that doesn't mean that means we think God's gonna do for them what he wouldn't do for us. The eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the earth, seeking to strengthen the hearts of those who are fully committed to him. God wants to do things in your life. You know, here's the thing. You can have as much of the favor of God on your life as you want. And part of that is just learning how incredibly significant you are to God, because when you really believe that you matter to God, you'll believe your prayers matter and you'll pray faith-inspired prayers, believing God's going to do great things in your life. Listen, at the foot of the cross, it's level ground. And my prayers aren't any better than your prayers. God wants to do in your life what you need and what you're willing to believe him for. And it comes down to just simply accepting, listen, you matter to God, and he loves you more than you can imagine. I mean, think of this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. Do you realize that's how God views you? He views you as a masterpiece. You may not, I mean, you may feel like you're a five-year-old's finger painting, but God views you as the Mona Lisa, okay? That's how God views you. The question is, are you willing to view yourself that way? Are you willing to say, God, I thank you. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You made me, you created me, and you love me. and you care for me and you value me. You're his masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things. Watch this. He planned for us long ago. Long ago, God had a plan and he designed you to accomplish that plan. He wants you. He values you. He loves you. Psalm 139, I love this. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. Does that get a hold of you? I mean, it goes on and says in the next verse, we won't look at it, but talks about, the number of your thoughts are greater than the grains of sand. I mean, God is thinking about you more than you're thinking about yourself. And he has wonderful thoughts about you. And when you understand that, it will change the way you pray. And prayer is the means by which we receive everything we need from the hand of God. Number three, God's blessing on our lives reveals his ways to people who don't know him. This is a really big thing. This is why it's important for you to be blessed. See, a lot of people don't think it's important for them to be blessed. God's got better things to do. I'm suggesting to you that scripture is very clear. God's plan for the nation of Israel was that they would be a people so blessed of the Lord that all the nations of the earth would look at them and say, wow, this is what happens when people serve God. So now what's God's plan for you? That you would be blessed in such a way that when people look at you, they would say, wow, what a God. Now, a lot of people, again, won't receive that as I say it. You'll have to think about it. So I'm going to give you Psalm 67 because that's what it's exclusively about. Watch this. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Selah. Selah is a Hebrew word that really means stop and think about it. Or it could mean strike up the band. You know, let's praise God. But may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Now, sadly, there are some believers, and the enemy, again, loves it this way. They think it's a mark of maturity not to pray for blessing. Some of you are like, well, I don't even think we should worry about that. I don't think that's what the scripture counsels. Because according to this psalm, if you don't pray for blessing, it removes the very thing in our life that will cause people to look to God. Remember Jabez? Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. And actually in the Hebrew, it's that you would bless me. So it's not just bless. It's like, I need you to bless me. I need you to give me all of it and enlarge my territory. In other words, give me influence. So I'm asking you to give me a double portion of your blessing. I'm asking you to enlarge my territory. So that would certainly involve influence and a measure of wealth. That your hand would be with me. I tell you what, there are very few things, if there's anything greater, I don't know what it would be, than to have the hand of God on your life. There's nothing better than that. So God, I just want your presence on me and that you would keep me from evil that I might not cause pain. You know, his mother named him Jabez, saying, I bore him in pain. So it may be that his father died in battle, he was born, and now she's single. And in that day, the whole thing is very, very painful for her in 1,000 different ways. And Jabez is saying, I'm just asking you that you keep evil far from me so that my life is not filled with pain, but is an illustration of your blessing. So God granted him what he requested. If God's not interested in blessing people, why did he answer that prayer? Because essentially it's a prayer asking God to bless. In Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, Selah, that your ways may be known on the earth. Do you realize that his blessing on your life shows people how God works in people's lives. I mean, if you don't serve a God who blesses you, why would people want to serve that God? So they could be as miserable as you? I mean, you just got to ask yourself some questions here. Why would people, if you are a miserable person and your Christian life doesn't bring you the joy of a good God who does good things in your life, and you don't have that sense of a God who watches over you and delights in you and delights to hear your prayer and delights to bless you, if yours is, well, and there is a branch of Christianity, and I don't agree with it. It's a branch of Christianity that focuses exclusively on suffering. You know, I heard this one person who said, life's hard, then you die. And they said it over and over again. This is a minister of God's word. And I'm like, that is terrible theology. Oh, I want to sign up for that religion. Listen, this is what it's saying. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways might be known among the earth and your salvation among the nations, so that when people look at us, they would see the hand of God resting on us. They would see that we have a God who delights in us, who cares for us, who answers our prayers, who blesses us, who actually causes his presence, his face to shine on us. And the idea is that God is present in the situations and the circumstances of your life. That is the blessing of the Lord in a powerful, powerful way. And you've heard me tell the story of my roommate from college, who today is a district superintendent in Arizona. But when I would watch his life, I was from essentially a very moral family, but not a church attending family. And so I get saved when I'm 17, give my life to Christ. I go to college. I'm his roommate. I'm watching him, and I can see a marked difference. Though I love God, I can see a marked difference between his life and my life. His life's characterized by blessing. Now, my life was not characterized by. It just seemed like you could just see the favor of God in the way things worked out, the way he interacts with people, the way situations work out. It's not that he doesn't have problems. It's just like God just keeps delivering him. And as I watched him over the course of time, I just remember going in and praying and saying, God, you know, I don't get it. I watch what you're doing on his life, and I look at my life, and I don't see that same attendant blessing. And the Lord spoke to me in that moment. I'll never forget it. I'll do for you what I've done for him if you'll serve me like he served me. And I said, game on. I was like, I'll take that deal, and I'm all about it. You see, what happened is that's a living illustration. By watching the blessing of God on his life, what did I learn about? God's ways. I began to see God's ways at work in his life, and that made me desire to have God's ways at work in my life. That's the purpose of, you're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed so that you can, certainly so you can be generous to others, but you're blessed to be a blessing in the sense that the hand of God on your life and the attendant blessing of God on your life causes others to see the ways of God and to desire him so that they might come to know him as their Savior. Number four, God's blessing brings transformation, joy, and thanksgiving. So, you know what? We enter his gates with thanksgiving, right? His courts with praise. God wants you and I to be filled with joy. He wants you to be happy. One of the best advertisements for Christianity is happy people. One of the things that people say about James River all the time is, that's a happy group of people. You walk in there on Sunday, it's happy. You go in the kids' area, it's happy. You come in here, it's a happy place. That doesn't mean that we don't cut it straight in terms of the word of God. It just means we got a lot of joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and serving God is something that's happy. Makes you happy. We had somebody who did not attend the church at the time, but they came in and they were working. We contracted them to do some work for us. And here's what they said. She said, when I came in here, everybody here, the staff and everybody, reminded me of Tigger. And they were just like a bunch of Tiggers jumping around. And she's like, I've never seen a place like this. And she said, they have something unique. They ended up recommitting their life to Christ, getting involved in the church, because y'all are a bunch of Tiggers. Better to be a Tigger than an Eeyore, right? Right? So, anyway, let's look at it. God, let people thank and enjoy you. Let all people thank and enjoy you. Why? Because once people see the ways of God, once they experience the salvation of God, now they're walking in the blessing of God. And what's the result? People begin to thank and enjoy him. Let all the people thank and enjoy you. Let all far-flung people become happy and shout their happiness, because you judge them fair and square and you tend to far-flung peoples. You're never going to be so far away that you're too far for God to see you, to care about you, and to tend to you. God, let people thank you and enjoy you. Let all people thank you or thank and enjoy you. Do you see the happiness there? Listen, the blessed life is a happy life. If anybody should be happy, it's the people of God. And his blessing is certainly something that brings joy. Let me just give you two more things quickly. The fifth thing is that God's blessing is part of his creation. The law of the harvest is written into creation. The law of the harvest is this: you reap what you sow. And you reap more than you sow. So people say, well, you know, I give to God and I don't care if he gives me anything back. Well, that's just not even faith. Because the word of God says, you reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow. I don't give to give, but I give knowing that I don't have to worry about giving because I'm gonna reap more than I sow. I'm gonna reap in a different season than I sow. But the law of the harvest is written into creation. I mean, look at this. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians about giving. So he's not giving us an agricultural lesson. He's given us a monetary lesson, but he's using agriculture as the metaphor. A farmer only plants a few seeds, gets a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. What kind of crop are you planting financially? And don't do it under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. Paul's going to go on and say that. The writer of Proverbs says this: give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. John Bunyan, the Puritan, put it this way: there was a man, some called him mad, the more he gave, the more he had. That's what that verse is saying. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he'll fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. In other words, God's going to bless you. You give, and what you honor him with, he'll multiply back to you. Watch this in Psalm 67. Then the earth. So what happens is you have people who are praying, Lord, let your face shine on me. Let your blessing come on me, so that people may see it, so the nations might know your ways and might be saved. Then people are gonna give you thanksgiving and you're gonna fill their hearts with joy. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. How's he gonna bless? He's gonna bless through the laws of creation. The earth will yield its increase. God said this to Moses: as long as there is the sun and the moon, and as long as there's man on the earth, there'll be seed time and harvest. You don't have to worry about the law of the harvest is a part of life for the rest of man's time on the earth. Number six, God's blessing brings God glory. Yes, God will bless us. Now watch this. I mean, this whole psalm. So for those who struggle with the idea of God blessing, you just really ought to memorize this and quote it for about 30 days and get it in your heart. I'm being serious about that. Because the enemy wants to convince you God's not interested in that, but it's all over Scripture. And this psalm is exclusively about it. Yes, God will bless us. I love that. Yes. Will God bless me? Yes. Does God want to bless you? Yes. Does God like to bless people? Yes. Rather than giving a qualified yes or a, well, I don't know, you know, that's not what it says. Well, I don't know if God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear him. For some people, that's the way they do life. I don't know whether he will, and people better be afraid. That's such a miserable representation of Christianity. I'm just going to be honest with you. We should be the happiest people on the face of the earth because we have a God who loves us. He's our Father. He cares for us. He sees us. His thoughts about us are innumerable. He cares more about us than we care about ourselves. And he's a God who delights to come to the rescue of his children. He's a God who delights to do good things in their life. He's a God who delights to bless them. And what happens? Yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear him. The connection is, as people see the blessing of God, people come to know God. People all over the world will worship him. People all over the world will serve him. People all over the world will acknowledge him. Why? Because the blessing of God was on your life. I mean, this is a really big deal. For some of you, and I would suggest, the blessing of God is one of the great evangelism tools. It's actually how he set it up with Israel, that Israel would bless the earth and redeem the earth through the blessing of God on them that would become obvious to everybody else on earth. Be like the Queen of Sheba, you know, when she came to Solomon, it was like, whoa, half has not been told me. So for you, God wants to do good in your life. So settle that in your heart. That doesn't negate the responsibility to serve him, to love him, to seek him, all those things. But the heart of God, Psalm 119, verse 68, you are good and you do good. And that's what motivates you to pray. That we're coming to a good God who loves to do good.